We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together until 2 o'clock in the morning. Plenty of room for you guys at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Took a lot of calls in that first hour. Want to do it again in hour number two. And again, what I said at the start of the show is what I really meant here. And I want to continue going down this road with you because I feel like there's a certain group of fans that, yeah, this is postseason baseball. You know, you can't get enough of it, especially when the Red Sox are doing what they're doing. To me, it was another statement win. And now you've got multiple statement wins throughout this postseason for this Red Sox team. Their ability to go on the road after losing a game at home and go on the road into Yankee Stadium and win not one but two games, that showed me a lot about this team that I did not know. And I'm a guy that's probably done somewhere between 40 and 50 editions of Red Sox Review and another 40 or 50 editions of Late Night on nights where the Red Sox have played. You know, I have had to sort of cover this team intimately over the last couple of years. And I got to tell you, the one thing about the Red Sox being as dominant as they were throughout this regular season with 108 wins is to get to that 108 number, that staggering, stupefying, just huge number, the type of number that you would never imagine going into the season. The most optimistic Red Sox fan would never dare predict 108 wins. It's just a stupid number, right? But they got there. And one of the big reasons why they got there and how they got there was they never lost more than three consecutive games. Not only did they not lose more than three consecutive games, they never went through one of those typical baseball droughts where, not for nothing, the season is so long with 162 games, just about every team goes through a stretch where they lose 12 out of 20, 13 out of 20. Nothing devastating, just enough games below 500 to start to get your fan base questioning things. They never went through that. They never had to answer that sort of question. They never had to face that sort of adversity. So going into the postseason, that was one of the questions that I personally wanted answered. I can't speak for anybody else, but I wanted to see how this team was able to respond to adversity. And we saw it in round number one in the divisional series. This team immediately, they go down, they lose a game at Fenway Park. They are forced to go into New York in a five-game series where New York's got an opportunity to go home and take care of business and knock the Red Sox out. And if you remember going into game three in New York, most of the media, including the local media, thought that the Red Sox were cooked. It was you guys. It was the fans. You guys were right. We were wrong. You guys stood by your team. The media was wrong in that series with the Yankees. And you'd think that we would have learned something from that Yankee series because the Yankees were no slouches. They were another 100-win team. You know, and we look at the Yankees and say, okay, well, the Red Sox are far superior, but they're not. You know, these teams are all relatively close. The Red Sox with 100 wins. The Red Sox with 108 wins. The Yankees with 100 wins and the Astros with 103 wins. You know, all three of these win totals are staggering. But we didn't learn our lesson, apparently, from that Yankee series because, once again, the Red Sox go into a road game where they had split at Fenway. And let's face it, the media was a little bit down on the Red Sox. The optimism wasn't where it probably should have been. The media hadn't learned their lessons about this Red Sox team's ability to overcome some adversity and you know, show a little bit of backbone. And to me, that's the most impressive thing about this team. I don't care how they got there, they got there. And they showed that backbone. They came through when their back was against the wall. They overcame that adversity. And that, to me, is probably one of the biggest hallmarks of a winner. And when you look at this team, that is the one piece that I didn't know they had going into the postseason. And I've continued to learn more and more about this team throughout this postseason run. And that's the part that I'm most impressed with. You know, let's face it, things have not gone the way that you would sort of draw them out. They haven't. When you sit there and you draw up your perfect postseason for the Red Sox, that perfect postseason involves David Price and Chris Sale doing work. And they haven't done that. And Chris Sale's been all right. Chris Sale's been effective sometimes, but he hasn't been the guy that this team really, you would think that they need to advance in the playoffs. And David Price has been David Price, but it's been other guys. Jackie Bradley Jr. tonight, Steve Pierce tonight, Nathan Eovaldi more than once throughout this postseason run. These are guys that, let's face it, even the most optimistic Red Sox fans couldn't have predicted would be these sort of difference makers. So we'll continue to talk about this Red Sox team with you guys as now it is 12:15 on Wednesday morning, Game 4, a critical Game 4 where the Astros could tie this thing up or the Red Sox can take a commanding 3-1 lead. That comes your way later on tonight. And the Red Sox, they'll have sole billing. You know, they don't have Patriots to contend with like they did over the weekend. They don't have a Celtics game to contend with like they did yesterday. So it'll be all Red Sox all the time coming up at 8:39 p.m. tonight. And, of course, the Celtics, they had their season opener, and we got a lot of calls from people driving home from the game. If you're still jacked up about this Celtics season getting underway and getting underway in style, you know, let's face it, 22 of the Celtics' first games, so every game between now and the end of November, there's 22 games. Only 9 games are at home. It's important that you win your home games. It's important that this team gets off to a decent enough start before that road-heavy schedule picks up. So if you're excited about what you saw from the Celtics, and I am, because I know that Kyrie Irving and I know that Gordon Hayward are eventually going to get comfortable and get right and be dominant offensive players. But on a night where those two shot a combined 6-for-26, the Celtics showed their one big quality, their big strength that I think separates them from the rest of the competition, at least in the Eastern Conference. And that is depth, 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 and more depth. On a night where you have two stars, your two offensive stars, go a combined 6-for-26 from the field. The Celtics are able to score 105 points, an old Philly to under 90. That's all you need to know about the depth of this basketball team. And to me, that is the biggest strength of this basketball team. So if you want to talk about the Celtics, we'll do that until 2 o'clock in the morning as well, right here on Sports Radio WEEI. So it is late night. It is WEEI. There is room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Blair. Blair's in Maine. Blair, you're next up here on WEEI.
What is going on, Patrick?
My man, Blair.
You almost let a girl kind of out call you. Well, Patrick doesn't know anything about basketball. He doesn't know anything about Celtics basketball. Well, that girl sounded pretty and cute and stuff, but I don't want a girl to call you out like that. But
well, Blair, let me ask you, what should I have done? You know, at that point, I wanted to let her have her word.
A cute girl, just be nice to her. Just say, okay, I'm okay. It's okay. It's okay, honey. It's all right. You can think that, but it's not true or whatever. But because we don't even have Crowder on our team anymore.
Well, I think that's the point. So at some point in the last couple of years, I know my take on Jay Crowder. I loved him because for the production that he gave you at that contract, he was the biggest steal in the NBA. $7 million a year over 5 years for a guy that was a legitimate player here for the Celtics. So I don't regret anything that I said. And once upon a time, we have a much better team now. So it's apples and oranges. Blair, you understand that. But Sarah, she did not understand that.
Well, she must have been a pretty girl, though. You got to give pretty girls credit.
Well, Blair, I just think intellectually you're on a different level than her. That's all.
Yeah, because I'm a single man.
What else you got, man?
Hey, I got JBJ, man. I can't wait to call the Ben Maurer show late night because this guy Chris.
So what? Hold on.
Man,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
This guy Chris from Houston says that. Our Red Sox were going to go down tonight and not win. We weren't going to stand a chance in Houston. Well, guess what? This guy, Chris from Houston's listening to your show. Well, what happened? JBJ crushed it tonight, freaking got a piece of his bat. It was out, baby.
Blair, I'm hurt.
Lightning.
I'm hurt.
He got a freaking grand slam.
No,
and
Blair.
Then it turned out to be it.
Blair, I gotta drop you, man. You're going a little bit crazy here. And something just happened to the phones. They all turned purple. So I don't know what that means. I've lost control of the board. Blair calls in and all hell breaks loose. So it is Sports Radio. WEEI, there is room for you at 617-779-7937.
What did you think you did well?
I hit a couple pull-up jump shots. Those felt the best, something I'm used to doing. So a lot to work on for me. But like I said, man, just the joy of being out here was amazing.
Gordon Hayward right there, post-game. You know, Gordon looked comfortable at times, and he looked very uncomfortable at times. And that's what you're going to sort of get from Hayward, I think, in the first month or two of the season as he learns his body once again and learns to trust his body once again. And he's right. He hit a couple of pull-up jump shots. But the most encouraging thing about those pull-up jump shots that he hit was that they were within the motion of the game. He wasn't sort of straining for those shots. He wasn't forcing those shots. They came within the offense. And I feel like that was something that was missing, especially in the preseason, where he looked like he was really out there trying a little bit too hard to force his offense and find a way. The one thing that I will say about Hayward and forcing the offense tonight was on more than one occasion, he did try to get to the basket, and it was clear. Once upon a time, he had a devastating Euro step type move. It's just not there yet. I don't think it's a matter of athleticism. I just think the Euro step is something that takes a lot of coordination and takes a good amount of leaping ability, and the timing's got to be right. It's got to be perfect to have it executed the right way. And to try to Euro step in your first regular season game back is not going to come all that easily and all that naturally to you. And he sort of tripped over his own feet a couple of times trying to do that. So I feel like when you look at Hayward, he is very much a work in progress, but I've seen enough from him throughout the preseason. You think about the game in Charlotte where he sprinted down the length of the floor and he was able to block a Kemba Walker shot up against the backboard. That required a tremendous amount of athleticism, that burst of speed, and then that ability to jump high enough in the air to pin that ball against the backboard and block that shot. So, no, are we going to see this sort of athleticism consistently, regularly, dominating games for 48 minutes the way that we did when he was with the Utah Jazz? Probably not in the first month or two of the season. But have patience with Gordon Hayward. I promise you, if we all have patience with Hayward, by the time the calendar flips to the new year and we're talking about the All-Star break and we're talking about this Celtics team preparing for what should be a prolonged postseason run, I promise you, promise you, promise you, Gordon Hayward is going to be one of the best players on this team. People are going to be talking about him as the comeback player of the year. He is going to be just fine. I've seen enough out of him. I've watched enough basketball to know that he's going to have it all back. It's not like he's somebody that's come back from injury and lost a step or lost two steps. No, this isn't Brandon Roy. This isn't Tracy McGrady. This isn't Anthony Hardaway. That's not the case with this at all. As a matter of fact, when you look at the injury that he had, the big difference between this injury and those type of injuries are this injury was predominantly a bone break. Sure, there was some stretching of the tendons when you read the doctor's reports, but it wasn't nearly as devastating when it came to the pulling and stretching of muscles and tendons that they thought it was going to be. It was considered simply a clean break. It was an ugly break, a devastatingly ugly break, and a painful break to watch. And just thinking about it, my skin sort of crawls a little bit. I don't like thinking about that injury. It was disgusting to watch. But despite all of that, because it was a relatively clean break, not only is his ankle expected to be as strong as it was before he got hurt, the doctors will tell you that it is stronger, and it will be stronger and continue to get stronger, meaning he's less likely to get hurt than he was before he got hurt. And when you think about injuries, especially injuries like an ankle sprain or somebody that is consistently having trouble with a hamstring, usually injuries exacerbate additional injuries. So if you're susceptible to a bad ankle sprains, a guy like Steph Curry, you know, he is susceptible to ankle sprains. He will be susceptible for the remainder of his career. It's something he's going to have to watch out for the remainder of his career. That's not going to be the case here with Gordon Hayward. Different type of injury. It's just about a matter of getting his timing back and getting trust in that body, trust in that ankle, that the ankle's going to respond. The foot is going to respond the way that Gordon needs it to when Gordon is calling on his body to respond the way he needs it to. He'll get there. Have patience. But the beauty of this Celtics team, quite frankly, is their depth. They don't need Gordon Hayward to go out there and give you 22 points a night right now. As long as he can do it in the postseason, everything's going to be just fine. In the meantime, you've got the luxury of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and, yeah, even Aaron Baines helping out offensively. And that's what told the story for the Celtics tonight. On a night where both Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving struggled, 6 of 26 from the field combined, the Celtics still scored 105 points. And defensively, while it wasn't pretty at all times, they held a very talented offensively talented Sixers team to under 90 points. So it wasn't perfect. It wasn't pretty. It is still very much a work in progress. But bravo to the Celtics. They played very well tonight. They got their season kicked off on the right foot. And it feels great to have basketball back here in Boston. So as we make our way through the final hour and a half of the program, we can certainly continue to talk about the Celtics. And I welcome all of the conversation surrounding the Boston Red Sox because they deserve all of the attention that we can give them as they embark on what could be a very critical game four coming up a little bit later on tonight in Houston. And this is one of those games we're going to look back at. This game could make or break the series. So if you've got continuing thoughts on the Red Sox, I'm telling you right now, Nathan Evaldi, in my opinion, Red Sox postseason MVP thus far. We'll talk about that with you guys as well at 617-779-7937. Until then, let's get back out to the phone calls. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you're next up here on WEEI.
Right.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, man?
So anyways, yeah, with regards to the Celts, I mean, you know, Kyrie and Gordon, they'll be fine. You know, halfway mark at the very least.
And Kyrie will get there quicker than Gordon, but yeah, they'll both be just fine. Yeah.
Kyrie is probably going to be, faster getting there. But my main point here is this game just shows you yet again the importance of a team. If you want to really be a championship contender, you have to keep your lottery picks and you have to hit with them. And in the case of Danny, you know, I think he got the best player in the draft in the case of both Jalen and Jason, and especially like Simmons. You know, Simmons goes out there and he puts up stats, but, you know, they were better with T.J. McConnell on the floor in the semis against us, in the playoffs.
You're right. It's weird because Simmons is so talented, and you can see why all the scouts go gaga over him. I mean, the body on him, his skill set, but there's something just missing there. You're right. They played better in the playoffs with T.J. McConnell, and then again tonight. You know, it was when T.J. McConnell was on the floor that the Sixers made their push each and every time.
It's called a shot. You can't shoot. The
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and people wanted to go and trade those picks for a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George. And it's just that's not the way that the league works. And personally, I took a special pleasure in one, Magic Johnson missing both times. Right. And two, the fact that Danny, you know, took our two biggest historical rivals in the Sixers and the Lakers to the woodshed by trading down, allowing those two to go and pick. And still getting Tatum out of it. But
here's what's crazy, though. You would think that at this stage in the game, the Celtics have got their big three with Hayward and Horford and Kyrie, and they've got their young talent and Jalen and Jason and Terry Rozier, and there's even a few younger guys that are still talented on this team, but those are the guys that you think of. What's crazy, though, Mike, is that this is a team that potentially could have another high lottery pick this year and as many as four more picks this year. I mean, it's bananas that Danny still hasn't cleaned out his cupboards yet.
And, you know, those picks are very valuable to this team, especially, you know, I'm looking at it from the point of view of just the salary cap and the luxury tax and being able to get, you know, and with Danny's ability to pick talent, get somebody on a four-year deal who can, you know, perform, you know, at a very high level as opposed and give you the bang for the buck that otherwise you'd have to pay a lot of money for as, you know, a free agent and it costs you a lot of money in salary, against the cap when the luxury tax is figured in.
Well, Mike, go back to 2008 and you look at, you know, you had your big three all making significant money here. Money was a little bit different, but same principle. But you also had Rajon Rondo on a rookie contract, Glenn Davis on a rookie contract. The Celtics probably don't win a championship without those guys, and they were making minimal dollars on controllable deals. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, that's going to be huge for this team. And people, I think Danny's already thinking about that going forward. And this next draft, you know, there's some really, I mean, that Kings pick should end up being a good player. And, you know, this draft is looking more and more attractive as it moves forward. But I just keep in mind always the Warriors, you know, Curry was a 7th pick. Thompson was an 11th pick. And they just, you know, they use those picks and they hit. And I think that Danny is using the picks and hitting as well. And that is the surest way to success in the NBA.
It is, Mike. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. And it's one down, 81 to go for the Celtics. And still a long way to go and far from a perfect product here. But I feel like when you're throwing two guys back into the lineup here in Kyrie Irving, who hadn't played since March, and Gordon Hayward, who hadn't played essentially all year. And when you look at this team, they hadn't played together as a unit in a regular season game in literally a calendar year. And a year ago, they only played 5 minutes together. It's not like they had years of history together, then sat out a year, weren't able to do it for a year. This is all brand new. And finding the way that these guys work together, it's even more different now than it was at this stage in the game last year. Yeah, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were on the Celtics last year on opening night. No doubt about that. But they are very different players with very different roles 12 months later. I mean, Jason Tatum is looked at as somebody who could be an all-star this year. There is talk about this sophomore leap that he's going to make, and that continued progression from what we saw throughout his rookie campaign, where if you look at his numbers and break them down month over month over month, he got significantly better month after month after month. And finally, in March and April, May and June, when it mattered the most, he leapt into a legitimate all-star type player, a legitimate number one scoring option. He was not that guy when Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, and Al Horford all first got together in Cleveland a year ago. So there's a lot of changes that took place here over the course of the last year. And while a lot of the talent on the roster, you know, yeah, you swap out Shane Larkin for Brad Wanamaker. That's about the only swap in talent on the roster. It doesn't make a difference. The talent's at different places compared to where it used to be, different roles, different expectations because of everything that took place last year. So it's going to be a learning progress and progression here for this entire team, I think, throughout the course of most of the season. And that's the beauty of it, because Brad Stevens is a teacher first. He loves to teach, loves to educate, and loves to get the most out of his team. And that's what he's done each and every year since he arrived here. 25 wins in year one, 40 in year two, 48 in year three, 53 in year four, 55 in year five. So when you look at what he's done, this year is going to be the year. If he takes that next step, it should be about 60 wins and a finals appearance, according to his trajectory and everything else that he's done since he arrived in Boston. And you got to love that about this team. You got to love that about what we're seeing here. But they are far from a finished product. And I feel like Brad Stevens thrives in that role because he's constantly working towards that basketball perfection. And there were plenty of mistakes to be had tonight. But still, the talent was there, the depth was there to get this Celtics team to win and win in convincing fashion while scoring over 100 points. They score 105 points tonight, and they hold Philly to under 90. So offensively, despite the fact that your two offensive leaders didn't have it, the depth came through, and defensively, despite the fact that it didn't look pretty defensively to hold Philly under 90, I feel like that's an accomplishment unto itself. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. I am Patrick Gilroy. Plenty of room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to my friend Helen. Helen's in Mattapan. Helen, you're next up here on WEEI.
Yeah, what's up, Patrick? Listen, I'm telling you, first of all, I got to talk about the Red Sox.
Okay.
And I am not changing my mind about David Price, because if they didn't take him out before the fifth inning, we'd have been in the same predicament as before. The man is shaky.
Yeah, and that's being gentle.
What people are saying, oh, yeah, he pitched good. He got out of his mess, but he put himself in that mess. So it's not our fault. You know what I mean?
What do you think, Helen, about the fans? I mean, you've been watching this team for a long time. What about the fans giving him a legitimate standing ovation coming off the field? I mean, I didn't feel very good about that moment. I felt like David Price was not good, and the fans still felt the need to sort of prop him up and give him an attaboy.
But you know what? You know what they say about people in Boston? We become proper at the proper time. You know, we become respectful and mindful, and we want to make the man feel good. We need an invention, Dr. Phil, and that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
No, because, I mean, that game last night was awesome. Even my 75-year-old sister called me talking about Jackie Bradley Jr. And all year long, she was upset because she said, everybody wants to get rid of my boy. I said, he's not going anywhere. And now she's so happy. She's all over herself. And I can see her blush when she talks about it.
Well, tell your 75-year-old beautiful sister that in the regular season, Jackie Bradley Jr. was 1-for-17 with the bases loaded. In the postseason this year, he's 2-for-3 with 7 RBI.
But the man is producing now.
Yep.
And I will tell you one thing about the Red Sox. I was sure, even when I called the station in April, that they were going to win over 100 games. So I bought the schedule for the year. And every time they won, every time they lost, I would count 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, on to the Celtics. You know, the Celtics, the reason why they're doing so well is that they have confidence and trust in each other, you know?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get to a game this year, but guess who's coming to town?
Who's coming to town?
My boy Paul Pierce. They're honoring him at the Traditions, and I'm going to be there. You know, they jacked up the price, but I'm still going. They got Paul Pierce. They got Jim Longborg. They got Kyle Petty. You like car racing, right?
I like it. I don't love it the way you do, but I like it.
Oh, my God. I like to see them cars roll around there. They go so fast. They make me dizzy.
Helen, in the summertime when the NBA is all done, have you heard of this league called the Big Three? It's a 3-on-3 basketball league. Have you seen it? All right. So, Paul Pierce.
What's his name? The rapper put together, right?
Ice Cube, right?
Yeah.
He put it together with Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson played in one game and quit. But the league sort of blew up this year, and it's legitimately entertaining basketball. But the rumor on the street, Helen, is that Paul Pierce is going to play in the league next year.
Oh, my goodness. He's the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And, you know, I got this huge painting on my wall that I got from the Channel 2 auction of Paul Pierce. Looks just like him, smiling at me now. I'm looking at him, smiling at me now.
Helen, if I were only a little bit older, you a little bit younger, you are my match. You're my dream woman, Helen. I appreciate the phone call.
Too old for anybody but myself.
Listen,
but I enjoy it.
Helen,
you
predicted the Red Sox to have north of 100 wins. So before you go, what's your prediction for the Celtics?
Oh, well, they're going to the playoffs, definitely. It's going to be the Celtics and the Warriors.
In the finals.
Yeah, because you got to figure this out. They didn't have all their players, but they took Cleveland to 7 games. I thought they were going to take it. But even though they didn't win, right, it was a low score.
Yeah, you're right.
LeBron should be embarrassed. They call him LeBreezy, but I think he's cheesy.
Ellen, I love you, know? Girl. You are my favorite. She is my absolute favorite. She called him LeCheesy, and that works for me. You know,
I don't think anyone's ever called him that before.
But in Mattapan, maybe they do. You don't look like you roll in Mattapan. You know, you get out of here, you go into Mattapan to find out what they're saying about LeBron.
No, I don't. I don't go door to door Mattapan asking what LeBron nicknames are.
I'm gonna go to Mattapan after the show and just start saying LeBreezy and LeCheesy and seeing if people know what I'm talking about.
Heads start coming out of windows.
It's Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. I am Patrick Gilroy. As we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning, there is still room for you at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys, making our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Really continuing our Red Sox-centric and Celtics-centric conversation that we've had for the majority of the program tonight. Both teams in action tonight, both teams winning tonight. When you look at what the sports world has been like around here, go back to Sunday. You had Sunday with the Patriots and the Red Sox, the Patriots playing an undefeated Chiefs team, the Patriots looking to prove not only to Patriots fans, but prove to the country that, yeah, the Patriots are back. And once again, reports of their imminent demise were greatly over-exaggerated, like we've done year in and year out. And despite everything that this Patriots team had been through, despite all the offseason drama, despite all the BS and all the junk, despite the poor play in September, they managed to get out of September at 2-2, which I think was the goal considering everything. And then immediately they get into October, they play the undefeated Chiefs and they win. And at the same time, you've got the Red Sox in the ALCS. And let's face it, despite the fact that the Astros won 5 fewer games, they are the favorite in this series. I haven't seen really too many nationally respected baseball guys pick the Red Sox in this series. And right now, the Red Sox, they are in the driver's seat. And what a 48, 72 sort of hours it's been here going back to Sunday. Now we're into Wednesday. But you had those two games on Sunday where Boston prevails in both of them. And then you go into tonight where, you know, there is a huge section of Celtics fans out there. It doesn't nearly compare to the Patriots. I understand that. But this is a Celtics team that is entering the season with huge expectations put upon their shoulders. They are clearly the favorite in the Eastern Conference to represent the East in the finals. And I give them a legitimate shot if they reach the finals to compete with and maybe put a scare into and possibly beat the Golden State Warriors. I feel like the Celtics match up well with Golden State, but that's a different discussion for a different day. But because you're going into the season with those sort of lofty expectations, those sort of lofty goals, and you're playing a team in Philadelphia in your home opener, in your season opener, that was a heated, heated battle. Despite the fact that the Celtics won the series 4-1 in the playoffs last year, these two teams do not like each other. So it was a great way to start the season for the Celtics, and at the same time, you get the Red Sox doing their thing. So Boston teams, two wins by the Red Sox, wins by the Patriots, and wins by the Celtics, 4-0 in these big nationally televised, nationally publicized type games. That's just awesome. And I know it doesn't compare to winning championships and all the winning that we've done around here in recent years. But as far as regular season basketball goes and regular season football goes, those are exciting, meaningful wins, and they are worthy of our discussion. And this Red Sox team, they are certainly worthy of our continued attention and discussion, as they are now just two wins away from reaching the World Series once again. So we're talking about all that with you guys, plus whatever the hell else you guys got at 617-779-7937. Let's get right back out to the calls. Let's go to James. James is in Connecticut. James, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing, Pat?
What's up, James?
I got to tell you, Helen is the best. I was thinking the exact same thing. If this woman was a little younger or I a little older, she's a match made in heaven.
Any woman that's got a mural of Paul Pierce hanging in her living room is okay with
amazing.
Me.
Amazing. Amazing. So listen, I don't know if you remember, I called last week. I predicted that Sale would lose game one and Price would win game two.
I remember you. So I got you. Yeah.
I do disagree with Helen a little bit. I think Price pitched better than his line. Do you think so? I mean, I think he pitched better. I think if not for a lucky little flare by Springer, I mean, he goes maybe 5 1/3 for 2 runs, and I just think he pitched better than his line.
I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm going to reserve judgment for his next game. If he comes out his next game and continues that trend of pitching better, then yeah. I will say that. But
I do agree with you about the ovation at the end. I really think that was Red Sox fans just, you know, we're pretty knowledgeable. We felt like he needed a little, you know.
A little pick-me-up.
But hey, nice game, Price. And I think it was, it may be needed. I think Alex Cora is doing the same thing. And I do think he's going to have another pretty decent start for us. And I really think we might be able to close it down before then, to be honest. I think Porcello, he's had two good starts against Houston this year. He battled with Dallas Kuchel pretty well, and I think earlier in the year in Minute Maid, I think he squeaked out a win. It was actually a pretty good outing, 6 innings and 2 or 3 runs or something like that. But
again, you know, I've got more confidence, James, and I'll let you finish, but I've got more confidence when Porcello and Evalde take the mound than when Price takes the mound. And when you look at, I know Porcello's making $20 million, so he's not a pennies pitcher the way Evalde is. But, you know, these two guys, I think of them as sort of scrappy workman type, like, you know, typical New England type pitchers,
guys
that we embrace here in New England, where David Price remains the anti-Boston. He's just everything that we've never rooted for here in this city.
Right. I agree with that, but right now I just want him to get his job done.
Yep.
And I just feel like something just tells me that he might, and I agree with you 100%, like you've been saying the whole time. Listen, we need, if we're going to do anything in the playoffs, we need David Price.
Correct.
To be there. And I think just something tells me he will. And I think if things go how I think they're going to go, man, does Dombrowski not look like a genius for Evolde? I mean, he has been amazing. He's just been amazing, exactly what we needed. I mean,
again, you look at Evolde, you look at Pierce, those two pickups right there, while not trade deadline deals, those are in-season pickups, right. In-season additions, and I'm not sure the Red Sox are where they are right now without those two guys.
Right. I was going to say, I think Evaldi's just a little ahead of Pierce, but, I mean, look at Pierce. I mean, the clutch home run tonight, I mean, the guy's been a Yankee killer. I mean, they both just were like perfect fits right away.
Yep.
I had that feeling about both of them, and they just both took off and did exactly what I mean. Evaldi's stuff is so live, and he just looks great. I do have bet more confidence in him than I do with Price. I just have a feeling that Price is going to get a little stronger as we go. I think the Yankees are a terrible matchup for him. So, I mean, I was nervous about all his games. Luckily we ended it how we did, but I was nervous for him pitching against New York. But, I mean, I feel good about the rest of the series. I think Porcello's going to get a win tomorrow, which, I mean, I think will pretty much end it. Tonight was obviously pretty decisive. But I also wanted to talk about the Celtics. If you would have told me that, you know, Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving would have went 6-for-26 and we still beat. I mean, they got to be number two in the East, right? The Sixers. If we beat them by 20, I mean, holy cow.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. But that right there, James, plays to the strength of the Celtics.
Depth.
Yep.
I mean, we are going to, and that's why I think if we do make it to the finals, we will be able to contend with the Warriors because, I mean, look at what we can come off with. The bench is just so amazing. I mean, we have Terry Rozier and you know, Marcus Smart coming off the bench. They can come, I mean, if it's going to be a really good season. I just can't wait. I can't wait till the playoffs.
James, man, listen, I appreciate the phone call. Let's enjoy the regular season, too, because as a Celtics fan, I can't wait for the playoffs either. But this regular season is going to be a fun one to watch. There's going to be a lot of nationally televised games. I think it's 33 or 34 of them on ABC, TNT, those types of games. The Celtics are going to be pubbed a lot. Every time you turn around, you're going to see them on national TV. And you're going to get to watch this maturation and progression of this team. They're going to mature as the season goes along. So unlike that 08 team that came out like a house of fire, Mbutu, all that stuff after the trip to Rome, really clicking on all cylinders from game one, that's not what you're going to have here this year with this team. This team is going to get better as the season goes along because you're going to get more trust in Gordon Hayward and in his ankle, and he's going to have more trust in himself. And Kyrie Irving is going to learn how to adapt and play with this new lineup that he didn't play with last year. And he's going to learn how to continue to get the best out of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And you brought up Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier is a guy that right now should be starting. I mean, he's a starter for half the teams in the NBA right now. Marcus Smart is a starter for a handful of teams in the NBA right now. Marcus Morris could be playing a lot more minutes for other teams in the NBA right now. But these guys are all to a man willing to take a reduced role here in Boston for the opportunity to win and to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I love the fact that Danny Ainge not only drafts character guys, he trades for character guys, that he looks for that sort of particulate in your character when he brings you in to be a member of the Boston Celtics. And there's only a handful of guys in the NBA that, you know, really comparatively, percentage-wise, not everybody in the NBA is willing to be like that. A lot of these guys are selfish, me-first type of guys, and that's fine, but that's what the league is made out of. Do you think James Harden is somebody that would be willing to forego his own personal numbers for the betterment of the team? Tell me that Carmelo Anthony would be willing to forego his own personal numbers for the betterment of the team. Now, you don't get that. A lot of these guys in the NBA simply aren't willing to do that. Their egos won't let them do that. But each one of these members of this Celtics team is willing to forego something personal offensively, something that could help them earn more money down the line for this team to not only win a championship this year, but for this team to compete for multiple championships over the next 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night. Let's grab one more before the break. Let's go to Scott. Scott's in Wareham. Scott, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure, Scott.
It's awesome. I mean, where else can you be right now where everything is going good?
I don't want to be anywhere else, Scott. I love it right here.
Honestly. And I know you're a Celtics guy, and I think that is just going without saying. They're going in the right direction. baseball-wise, the Red Sox are going in the same direction, and they're in a great spot right now. And it always comes down to people you don't expect to do things, like Jackie Bradley Jr. Everybody wanted him traded. Everybody wanted to get rid of him. And who's the superhero?
I mean, right now, I mean, JBJ, I mean, he was awesome, and he's been great really throughout the playoffs. I gave you a stat earlier, and it's an amazing number, but Rob Bradford on WEI.com said this about an hour ago, said that throughout the regular season, JBJ was 1-for-17 with the bases loaded. In the playoffs, he's 2-for-3 with 7 RBI. I mean, he's right. really come to play. And he's one of these unsung heroes. Nathan Eovaldi, unsung hero. Steve Pierce, unsung hero. Rick Porcello, unsung hero. You know, these aren't the marquee guys. They're not the guys with their names at the top of the billboard at Fenway Park. But these are the reasons why this Red Sox team is two wins away from reaching the World Series.
Patrick, honest to God, that's the whole reason I called. Because I've told people, it's never who you expect. It's the unsung heroes that you wanted to get rid of, somebody just does something clutch. And it's true. I mean, J.D. Martinez has gone bad. Like, I don't even know what the stats are. But that would be somebody you would expect to carry this team. And it's not like that. In the playoffs, it's never like that. It's unsung heroes, like you said. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's great to watch.
It is, man. I'm up against it, but I appreciate the phone call, Scott. And we'll do this again as the playoffs roll along and the Celtics season rolls along. There's always going to be room for you guys here on Late Night. That's what Late Night is. I mean, it's where we get an opportunity to expand. It's not just the 30-second conversation that you have with the other shows here. We can go back and forth and talk for a couple of minutes. And real quick, before I hit the top of the hour here, somebody on the text line, and I always love the texters, but he says, "So you have no problem with all the thugs in the NBA, but Price burns your butt. Typical Hoophead." First of all, I'd like you to name me some of the thugs in the NBA. Second of all, I'm only really talking about our teams here. And I never called Price a thug. What I said was Price is somebody that sort of, you know, I can't root for him because of the things that he says. He has put his foot in his own mouth so many times, and he's an excuse maker. I don't like excuse makers. It's the same reason I have trouble with LeBron James. LeBron James is the greatest player in the NBA today, and he's a top three player of all time. I can say that about him. But I hate the fact that he is the first one to throw his teammates under the bus after a game rather than just get up there and say, "My bad, I made a mistake." He's going to blame somebody else for the bad pass. You know, that's who he is. That's what he does. And I feel like David Price has got a lot of that in him. David Price legitimately talking to the media about carpal tunnel, about allergies to fresh cut grass, about allergies to cats, about his fingers and toes and not getting enough blood flow when it's cold out. These are all things that you don't have to tell the fans about. These are things that you're not going to get sympathy from the fans for. And the fact that he goes out there and he does these things and says these things and looks for sympathy and excuses, that's why I don't like David Price. So again, I encourage you, call the program at 617-779-7937. Instead of being a texting tough guy, let's have a debate. Tell me who on the Celtics is comparable to David Price. Find me one member of the Celtics that has given excuses like that, because I don't see those guys. There aren't excuse makers on the Celtics right now. That Celtics team has something that David Price doesn't have, and that's accountability and that's self-respect. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night, 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.